Welcome back to Legal Eagle on West Kent Radio, where Berry and Lambert's Paul Reader has been talking us through the sale or purchase of a business. So, Paul, we've discussed the steps a business owner should take when looking to sell a business, but in relation to company information, what should they consider?
So one of the things that the buyer will ask on due diligence is to see all the statutory information about the company. So as a seller, you want to make sure that all information on company's house is up to date, the correct directors are registered there, the people of significant control register is up to date there. There is also a charges register at company's house, which if the business has taken out any borrowing and has had a charge registered against them, the charges will be registered on company's house as well. We see quite often that when loans are being paid off, people do not clear up that register. So it's always good to have a look at what the charges register shows on company's house. And if there's any redundant charges there, just apply to company's house to get that written off. And then the other main thing to consider is the statutory books of the company. Now, these are not always, a lot of people think that these are just the information which is in the company's house. That's not the case. Statutory books are books that the company needs to take. You can do them online if you register to do it, but if not, they need to be hard copy books. And that will show the registers of directors, the registers of shareholders, and it shows the historical information. And shareholders of a company are not actually legally registered as shareholders unless they're listed on these registers. And a lot of companies do not keep these registers up to date. And again, that's something that a buyer will want to see because they want to make sure that they've got legal title to the shares that they're buying. So it's worthwhile having a look at the company registers with your accountant, with your solicitor, and make sure they're up to date. Again, preferably before going to market.
So are there any key terms in a business contract with customers and suppliers that a seller of a business needs to pay particular attention to?
Yeah, so I mean, a lot of the time, one of the key things for a buyer is looking at the business and saying, well, they've got a good client base, they may have a good supplier base, they might have exclusivity agreements with their suppliers, which is important. And what a buyer wants to see is that there are good, strong contractual rights between both them and the customers and them and their suppliers. So the first thing that you need to do is make sure that you do have written contracts with your customers and suppliers. If you are in a business which is ad hoc, it's always good to make sure with your customers you've got standard terms and conditions which you trade on, so that a buyer can look at that and understand actually how you are trading with your customers. If you've got long-term contracts, it's making sure you've got those in place in one place so it's easy to disclose to the buyer. One of the main things that you need to look at in these contracts is that there's no prohibition or ability for a customer or supplier to terminate these contracts when there's a change of control in the company, or if you're going through an asset sale, that these contracts can be assigned to the new business. Because if there is risk that the customers or suppliers can terminate these contracts or they can't be assigned to the new business, then at that point the buyer will say, well, we're at risk here. What value is there in this business if these customers and suppliers could potentially disappear the day after sale?
So also we wanted to ask you about the steps regarding employees. So what steps in relation to employees should a business owner be taking?
Okay, so I suppose number one is making sure that you have employment contracts in place with all your employees and they are at a minimum compliant with the Employment Rights Act's requirements of what should be in there. If they're not, you can guarantee within the due diligence process, the buyer will say these need to be updated. And again, that can lead to delay within the sale process if you need to go through that. It also adds costs. So if you can check those, audit them, and get them in place before you go to market, that's great. We see a lot of people who have self-employed consultants on the book who actually may come under the definition of employee. So it's looking if you've got any self-employed workers working for you that they are genuinely self-employed workers and not employees, and making sure that the appropriate contract's in place with them. We see a lot of businesses and business owners have family members as employees of their business, which those family members may not be working within the business. That can be a tax efficient way of getting money out of the business. I'll put that as delicately as that, I think. But these things will come out in due diligence. A buyer will not like them. And if it is the case that the family member is not actually working for the business, then that can actually cause issues. It, certainly, even with your own advisors who have got duties under the anti-money laundering regulations to make reports. So it's clearing those family members up if they're not actually working for the business. And I suppose the final thing on employees is making sure that if there are any key employees to the business, that they are tied into the business as far as possible. Because if they are people who are making this business work, you can guarantee that the buyers are going to want them in situ when they buy, and make sure they're not at risk of flight.
Fantastic. Well, we knew you were the man to ask, because that's some fantastic clarity. But finally, what other factors should a business owner consider? Anything else you want to add?
I think the few extra things that a business owner really needs to be aware of when selling their business is that a lot of the time the buyer will want key business owners to stay on for a period after sale. Usually to ensure that there's a smooth transition, to make sure that customer relations are upheld and there's a nice transition to the new owners. So don't expect in every case that once you've sold the business, that's it, you'll just waltz off into the sunset. You can also expect that the buyer will want you to be subject to a restrictive covenant, which prevents you from competing with the business, because they don't want to buy the business from you and then see you set up in competition the next day. So there will be quite hefty restrictive covenants on that. You may not get the full purchase price on day one. Some buyers will like to make sure that the business is performing and continues to perform over a period before releasing the full purchase price to you. So you may get a lump on completion, but then there may be an element of deferred consideration which will be dependent on performance of the business. Have a look at your leases, because obviously if you're leasing premises, the buyer will want to see the terms of the lease. Think about who might buy your business and whether they'd want to remain in those premises. If you think the premises are key, then you may want to negotiate with your landlord a longer lease before you actually go to market. Finally, make sure if you need any permits or regulatory authorizations to carry out the business that you're doing, that you have those in place.
Oh, thank you so much, Paul. That is extremely useful. What an insight into the legal aspects of buying and selling a business. A recurring theme on Legal Eagle episodes is the advice to do due diligence and preempt potential legal pitfalls in advance. And that is something the friendly and approachable team at Berry & Lamberts can help you with. So do contact Paul and the team for advice on this or any other legal matter at berryandlamberts.co.uk. You can hear this full episode back on the West Kent Radio website, and do join us next month for another Legal Eagle on West Kent Radio.